Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yo, Jimmy.
Yes.
I just annoyed myself. Yo, Jimmy.
Yes.
Do you happen to have anything that's of interest to evangelical Christians? I got nothing here for material.
Yeah, me either.
Ooh, what are we going to do? This is Wretched Radio. That is the question of our hour. What are we going to do? The election, it consumed pretty much all of our collective attentions, did it not? That we were focused on something that is indeed important, but it's over. So let's not even debate how important it is that Christians were involved in the political process and voting. It's something that we spoke about regularly. You got to vote. You have an opportunity. You should take it. Believe me, Christians throughout the centuries would have been thrilled to vote. Well, just they probably would just be thrilled to vote, regardless of the quality of the candidates. We have that opportunity and blessing. We should take it. But now that the election is over, the question is, what are we going to do? I can't help but notice many of the Christian websites that provide all kinds of stories and articles. Guess what they're still talking about? The election, the appointments, etc. And I recognize every evangelical, they do indeed have the privilege given to us by God to determine what we put our eyes on, what you're interested in, how you're going to use your discretionary free time. But if these Christian websites are any indicator, it appears we are not getting out of the cycle of being consumed by political issues. And you say, those things are important. And I say, yeah, they are. But how important? How important are those things in light of eternity? I think we have a litmus test right before us. If you heard that statement and maybe it sounded cliche, or perhaps you're thinking, okay, you just don't understand the urgency of the hour. People are flooding the border, the economy, and the interest rates. I get all of it. But in light of eternity, those things dwarf. They dwarf. You say, but they're important. And I say, I know. So vote. So be involved as a Christian because you want to do well for other people as you see fit. But in light of eternity, we need to recognize that God, while he is indeed involved in the details of the daily ordering of our life and country, he's interested in something bigger. He's interested in something more eternal. He's interested in something more glorious. Had a chance to preach on Sunday morning. And can I just tell you, I'm actually bummed out about church on Sunday. And a good bummed out kind of way. The week before, Mrs. Friel and I were traveling, so we didn't get to be in our church. And this Sunday, before church started, was just busy with things and didn't get a chance to just hang with my brothers and sisters. And so while the worship, tremendous, the liturgy, great, the preaching, but I just missed being with my brothers and sisters in my local church because it's my local church. I love meeting believers. I truly do. I really do. But there's something about doing life together as a local church and being involved in one another's mess. And so it's like 2 weeks. I'm feeling kind of, I'm like a heroin addict who hasn't had my fix. I'm like, I want to be hanging out with the people that I know really well in the context of my local church. And the sermon was actually kind of, in a sense, about that. What are we going to do now? How are we going to live now that the election is over? And the text might surprise you. I mentioned it last week. It's the story of a miracle that appears to be odd, but it's not. In fact, this even as I formulate this sentence in my head, I realize how ridiculous this is going to sound. The miracle that Jesus performed in order to support the thrust of his message in this particular section of scripture in Matthew, it couldn't have been a better miracle. And you go, well, of course, Friel, it would be exactly the best miracle. And I know that, but I look at that miracle of the paying of the taxes by casting a line into the sea to pull out a singular fish that has a coin in its mouth to pay the 2 drachma temple tax. You read that miracle, and it is really quite David Blaney. It's almost like you read that miracle because it's so different than all of the other miracles, and you think, well, that's sort of like Jesus just pulling a coin out from behind Peter's ear. No, it's not. It was the perfect miracle for the situation because Jesus was showing us again that it was a sign that he is indeed the Son of God. Only God can put up the 2 drachma coin, I think it's called a stater, into the mouth of a fish. And by the way, there are fishes whose mouths are big enough to host a coin. It's called I really need to get this. Jimmy, can you just hug me through this? Because if I don't get this, I'm going to be wrecked. It was the word for time in Latin, and I'm forgetting it. Simonis, Simon. Somebody named it. It's a genum. It's a type of fish family whose mouth is big enough, and it's a Simonis, Simon, because it could easily fit a coin in its mouth. It can hold 200 fish eggs in its mouth. And that is exactly what Peter would have discovered when he dropped the line and he pulled out the fish. And we hear that miracle and we think, okie dokie, that one seems a little out of sorts. It's not. Who can pull that off? A coin had to come from somewhere. Now, it is entirely possible that God actually minted a coin and just placed it, boop, in the mouth of the fish. The details of the miracle, I don't know, but nevertheless, when Jesus said this is going to happen, and Matthew doesn't even report it, it's just taken for granted that the 2 drachma tax is going to be in the fish's mouth, we see that God is on full display supporting Jesus' testimony that he is God. That's why that miracle is like, huh? Because if you ponder it, it's a really big miracle, even though it's a small result. 2 drachma, 2 days' wages. Why did Jesus do that miracle? To display his divinity. So that when you realize that he was providing the tax for the temple, that he was under zero obligation to pay, you see that Jesus did that miracle so that he wouldn't be a stumbling block to the people who are collecting the taxes. 2 people collecting the taxes. Peter's talking to them. Hey, does your rabbi pay the tax? Yep, he does. He comes into the house and Jesus starts to talk to him about his conversation. And he asks Peter, does the king's son have to pay a tax? No, neither do I. Because I am the son of the king, and I don't have to pay that tax, but so that we are not a stumbling block, so that I am not a stumbling block, we're going to pay that tax. Why? Because Jesus Christ was on mission. It was a tax. The temple was going to be wrecked in about 30-some years. It was a corrupt temple, and yet Jesus paid it. Why? because he didn't want to have to say to the tax collectors, I don't need to pay this tax because I'm the son of God. And they would roll their eyes and go, yeah, sure, that old excuse. Sure, that's why you don't need to pay your tax. And so Jesus, because he didn't want to be a stumbling block, he provides the coinage from the mouth of a fish, revealing that he is divine and he is fully human, submitting to laws and customs that he did not have to keep, but he did. Why? Because he didn't want to be a stumbling block. Why? Because his mission was to save sinners. And so now our question is answered. What should we be doing now? It's simple. What we should have always been doing. Joining Jesus in his mission. To do what? To save sinners. To announce great news. Freedom to the captives. That you don't have to die eternally. You can live because of Jesus Christ. You can trust him for forgiveness, for adoption, for justification, for glorification, and everlasting life. And so whilst the world is demanding, and so is Christian media, demanding, keep thinking about the issues of this world, I think our Savior would have a different message. Think about eternity. This is Wretched Radio.
You notice how the world feels a lot different lately? At Fortis Institute, we see it too, and we're responding with even more resources to help you stand strong. Every single day, you get fresh video content that addresses today's critical issues. You get podcasts on marriage, parenting, and theology, biblical insight from trusted voices like Pastor Brad Bigney and Dr. John Kratz, plus Gary Barvell's weekly cartoons that are funnier than any dad joke you can ever hear from me. Todd made me say that. Best of all, everything is absolutely free through our Fortis Plus app. From Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, we are equipping believers like you to thrive in this brave new world. So join thousands of Christians who are already growing stronger in their faith every single day. Just visit FortisInstitute.org or download Fortis Plus right now. Always free and always faithful to God's Word. Fortis Institute at FortisInstitute.org.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies, the war, let me tell you, it's raging out there. And Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You ever notice how many voices are just clamoring for your attention these days? It seems like every week there's a new theological trend, another fresh interpretation of the Bible. Well, that's exactly why we've launched Fortis Institute. Drawing from 1 Corinthians 15:58, we're committed to helping you stand firm. Through Fortis Plus, you're going to get free access to 7 new pieces of audio and video content every single day, hundreds of hours of biblical content, exclusive director's cuts. But here's the thing, we're only able to continue providing this fortress of truth with the support of faithful gospel partners just like you. Your monthly gifts help us reach millions of people all over the world with the uncompromising biblical truth of God's Word. So if you're ready to stand firm with us, just visit us at FortisInstitute.org and become an ongoing monthly gospel partner today. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Know your church fathers. John Chrysostom was the bishop of Syria and Constantinople in the 4th century. He was an eloquent preacher and earned the moniker Chrysostom, which means golden-mouthed. He denounced abuses of authority in church and government and fought for purity of life and doctrine.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You can heal a leper. Metaphorically, this is Wretched Radio. Jesus Christ healed lepers, people with skin diseases. And how did he do it? Compassionately, because he did something that made him ceremonially unclean. It does not mean that he sinned. It means that he was ceremonially unclean because he did what the scriptures mandate is something that would qualify you for being unclean. Touching a leper. Jesus Christ touched lepers. Ponder what it might have been like to be a leper in those days, to be a leper today. How would you react if you saw a leprous person today? How would you respond to somebody who maybe has had fingers fall off and nose has fallen off? Who has not talked to anybody perhaps in years? How would you react to that person? Chances are you'd be like, I don't want to get that. I don't know if I can or not, but I don't want that. And you might even be with somebody who is leprous enough. You might be like, this is a little uneasy for me. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't just talk to the leper. He gets close to the leper and touches the leper. It could have been years since that leper had felt a touch. And even if Jesus hadn't healed the leper fully, that leper still received human touch, showing that somebody cares. And I would contend that you and I today can touch lepers, not people with skin diseases, but people who have not received much touch through attention, or people just being interested. How do I know that people want that? Well, what is the great striving on social media? How many people saw this? How many people liked what I just did here? We clamor for that. We need that. And it's not necessarily sinful. It's a part of our humanity that somebody cares, that somebody shows interest in little old us, that somebody's willing to touch us. And right now in our society, courtesy of social media, I think we've got millions, if not billions, of people who feel like lepers. There ain't nobody interested in me because I have not had anybody even engage with me and ask me how am I doing. And I got to tell you, I see this, and we're getting trained. I'm telling you that cell phones, it's just training us. I don't think COVID helped, frankly, but I don't. The cell phone has just made us so non-social. I'm even getting you. It's just amazing how the society can conform us into its image. Because I remember commenting on this a number of years ago, not a ton of years ago, but within the last five, that people don't even say hi anymore. We used to get into elevators and, man, you jawbone with a complete stranger. And people that are from Europe would be like, what is with your chit-chatting with people in the elevator? We don't do that in Europe. Well, we do it in America, but not so much anymore. And now, when Mrs. Friel and I are out for our walks and we pass by people, regularly they've got their earbuds in. And even if they don't, sometimes they're walking the dog and staring at the phone. Because it's not enough to just walk a dog. I gotta see some memes while I'm walking. They just walk right by. They don't even look. Not even a head nod. And guess what? I'm starting to get used to it. I initially found that so profoundly uncomfortable. We got it. Hi. All right. How's it going? Good to see you again. Nice dog. Whatever. Nothing. And I'm getting trained. And it is obvious, I believe, that right now in this moment in history, that people are feeling isolation because mostly social media. I saw this amazing, it was a motion graphic. I think it was Larry Elder, I think, did it. And I wish I could describe it for you, but I think you get the gist of it. It was a graph. So on the left-hand side, it showed all of the different activities. So family was on top, friends, and, you know, entertainment, sports, church was there, work, et cetera, where, how people spend their time. And then down below, it was 1940 to now. And initially in 1940, family, you spend time with family. Then came the 50s, and it was more friends than family. And you saw, you started to see friends and family. It was just vying for the top two spots. 2011, everything changed. Everything was suddenly minimized. Friends, family, church, entertainment, sports, all of it just shrank down to virtually nothing. And what exploded? Social media. Social media. That's how people are spending their time. And it is my experience that if you just talk to somebody and just genuinely ask them questions, and even if it doesn't lead you to a witness encounter, I'm telling you, they want to talk because they're hearing somebody touch them. How are you doing? How is life for you? Basic stuff that we used to consider elevator chat, I think now resonates with people. Why do I bring this up? Because if we are terrified to talk to people, then we're not going to be on mission. And our mission is to go and make disciples. And I know it's scary. I know it's terrifying to do that. I get it. But I am telling you right now, there are billions of lepers who would be more than happy to receive your touch of asking them questions. Try it and see. Tim Challies, one of our fellows here at Fortis Institute and one of our director's cuts that you can find at fortisplus.org, talks about how he goes about the business of touching people / evangelizing folks.
Uber. I have found the best evangelistic opportunities I get are in Uber. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm always in for about 25 minutes. That's my house to the airport. It's in Toronto. Traffic's a nightmare. Anything takes at least 25 minutes.
Okay, Challies, quit your whining. 25 minutes.
Almost everybody who drives an Uber is from a different country, and usually they're from a Muslim or a Sikh background. In fact, every single Uber driver I've ever had, except for the one Dutch Reformed guy, was Sikh or Muslim, and all have been very, very willing to talk religion. Yep. And so within 2 or 3 minutes, I can bring up the subject, very eager to talk about it, and then I can go straight to grace, right? Because both religions very much founded on I'm a good person, being the best I can, and living a good life, and hoping that at the end, the scales of justice have been balanced. So I just found over the last maybe 6 months or so since I've been using Uber or taxis a lot, it's been just great opportunities. And I still have a perfect Uber, 5-star Uber rating. So it's not like people have been holding those conversations against me. So
I've wondered about that. Am I never going to get picked up again because I witnessed to the Uber driver?
Great. Other than that, I just really believe in the value of conversation. And maybe that's especially true as Christians are being painted one way by the culture, right? And so the pop media presentation of Christians is that we're haters, we're bigoted, we're awful. But you get with people and you spend time with people, they see you, they hear from you. I think that lowers people's guard. I think maybe it surprises them that you're not the way you've been portrayed. And then I think the doors open to speak truth to people. And I think a lot of it is just the same as it always has been, which is inviting people to see and experience Christian community. And so Toronto, a massively multicultural society, but not a ton of places where people come together across those barriers voluntarily and form societies or groups or associations or congregations that include all nations, tribes, and languages. And yet, here we are in the church. And so I think inviting people in, seeing people love one another, seeing people doing something completely countercultural. I spoke at my son's school recently, He went to, until very recently, a public school, a government school. And I was able to speak to his class about being a pastor, in his class about vocation. And I don't know that there was a kid in that class who had ever been in church before. In fact, when I mentioned Jesus, there's like this nervous kind of giggle that went over the room. Like, that's off topic. So you just don't talk about that kind of stuff. But to be able to be there, my son to be there, just be normal people who, you know, are living in this neighborhood and loving people. I think people were surprised.
Not only are they surprised, they are thrilled. When somebody cares, when you go out in a boat, that's what I should say for Chelly's, oot in a boot. Maybe this will sound a little bit counter to what we do here all the time at Wretched, but don't see people as witness encounters. Just go minister to those folks, talk to those folks, and keep your eye on the prize of talking about eternal things. And I'm telling you, now is the time. You can touch lepers. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Well, following his pretty large and decisive victory, President-elect Donald Trump has announced plans to dismantle the extensive DEI bureaucracy embedded throughout federal agencies. The Biden administration implemented an estimated 500 DEI-related actions across government departments, including defense and intelligence agencies. Trump is expected to sign executive orders shutting these operations down and reinstating his 2020 order, making it easier to remove bureaucrats who obstruct presidential directives. And speaking of the coming change in Washington, some reverberations are already being felt. At the State Department, officials organized therapy sessions and cry rooms for employees distressed by Trump's victory. One official noted that the department has taken on a, quote, college campus-like fervor focused on feelings rather than advancing the interests of Americans. And the spectacle of government employees requiring counseling over election outcomes raises serious questions about the capacity of those who are actually representing our interests in Washington. Meanwhile, Michigan Senator-elect Alyssa Slotkin is claiming that removing DEI programs from the military somehow politicizes our armed forces, apparently missing the irony that injecting social justice ideology into our defense institutions was a political act itself. Yeah, that ball of yarn only gets spun one way, doesn't it? And in Hollywood, there's been some pretty notable backpedaling from actresses we've reported on last week, starting with Snow White star Rachel Zegler, who issued an apology for her inflammatory post-election comments where she had wished Trump voters would never know peace and described them as subscribing to a false sense of security, a false sense of masculinity, and a false sense of intelligence. She said all of that, and then in her apology claimed that, well, I just let my emotions get the best of me. Similarly, Eva Longoria is doing the same walk back, now insisting to The View that her three-year European residence is not politically motivated, but rather work-related. She now declares herself a proud American and a proud Texan. And speaking of partisan messaging, MSNBC's Jen Psaki attempted to downplay concerns about biological males in female sports, claiming that it was not an issue before acknowledging that it does occur but poses no threat to safety or fairness. That's a position that goes not only against science and biology, but public opinion. North of the border, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is pushing his radical agenda on the next generation, promoting unrestricted abortion access to high school students while falsely claiming such rights exist in Canada's charter. Campaign Life Coalition reports that abortion has claimed over 4 million Canadian lives since 1969, equivalent to the entire population of Alberta. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I am Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to be a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 387 AD. Augustine of Hippo is converted. His writings became bedrock for the Middle Ages and were influential in the Reformation. The Confessions and City of God are still read by many. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go to Ireland, shall we?
Sean D. Fox.
We'll sing a song, a soldier's song, with cheering, rousing chorus. As round our blazing fires we throng, the starry heavens o'er us. Impatient for the coming fight, and as we await the morning's light, here in the silence of the night, we'll chant a soldier song. Everybody sing! Their lives are pledged to Ireland. Some have come from a land beyond the waves, sworn to be free. No more our ancient sireland shall shelter the despot or the slave. Tonight we man the Birnabihul for love of the Gael towards death. Mid cannons roar and rifles peal, we'll chant a soldier's song. This is Wretched Radio. You say, Friel, would love to join you in singing the Irish national anthem, but not familiar with that tune? Well, then let me invite you to sing along with the tune I heard on Saturday at a little town called Athens in Georgia. Glory, glory! To old Georgia. Wait, what happened here? I know that tune. It's glory, glory, hallelujah, but not in Athens, Georgia. It's a glory, glory, Georgia. It's the University of Georgia's fight song, and I have a confession to make. I was a little, actually, I was quite put off by that. I was very put off by that, if I'm going to be honest, and I have no reason not to be. What are they doing taking a song that was about the glory of God, that the battle hymn of the Republic? You can argue about some of the lyrics, but it was glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. It is about revelation and Jesus, Hufta, pressing out the fierce wrath of God. And now it's a fight song for the University of Georgia. And that is why I experienced a great deal of at the Georgia game on Saturday. I get this feeling every time I go to a game because I have a confession to make. I really enjoy going. It's a spectacle. And I don't mean that like, oh, that's a spectacle, like a car accident. It's a spectacle. Do you know what it takes to get 90,000 people in an orderly fashion to their assigned seat? It's amazing. Even when they opened up the gates to let the kids into the student sections, yeah, they were hustling a little bit, but overall it was orderly. It wasn't like the running of the bulls in Pamplona. We were just orderly. People got to where they were supposed to go. The food trucks arrived. The hot dogs were delivered. It's amazing. And I just love the youthful energy. It's I think it's right and it's good. I even like the idea of people having a connection to their colors. I think that's just, those things can exist. And I actually think they're good for society. I really do. Can you think of anything else that for at least a few hours erases the political divide in our country quite like sports? Just amazing. If you've never been to the South, it is a thing. You just talk about it a lot, and it is so good-natured. I've never seen it get ugly. I'm sure that it has. Alabama, you blah, 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 blah. No, I don't see that. You're from Alabama? Drown Tide. Whatever. It's all fun, sort of good-natured stuff. And you know, in this stadium, they weren't all Republicans or they weren't all Democrats. Everybody was just kind of getting along. And I think it is a good thing. And yet I observe some things that just, I have a confession to make. It kind of grieved my spirit. There's another song besides Glory, Glory to Old Georgia. It's called the Krypton Four Corners Glory song. Goes a little something like this. It's just People are very excited. I wish you could see the visual. Because everybody's holding up their cell phone. But some people are holding up their cell phone to give glory to the University of Georgia, and they're holding up the other hand too. Like they're at a worship service. And now we're bowing. And all there's tens of thousands of lights all bowing to the four corners of the University of Georgia. And while I suspect most people were doing it just because it's fun and it's their colors and it's competitive, I observed some people where you couldn't help but get the impression that the stereotype of the Southern football religious culture is indeed true. Perhaps you could help me and offer me a corrective sent to idea@wretched.org, because it is most certainly possible that I have become a complete and total curmudgeon, if that didn't already happen decades ago. Where I can maybe see the downside, even when it's just good nature, kids playing in a park. Yeah, well, the problem is their parents are working too many hours. You know, whatever. And I'm watching this, and it's so cool, and yet you do get the sense that for some people, this is their God. Try to envision, if you can, in your mind's eye, 90,000 people in a stadium holding up their cell phones. And what is it that they are glorifying? Football, University of Georgia, perhaps the state of Georgia. And I couldn't help but wonder how many of those people would assemble in a stadium if they knew that Jesus were going to return on the 50-yard line. And so I found myself feeling a little bit heavy-hearted. Fun! Oh, this all belongs to Jesus. Oh, this is so cool to watch. How many of these people would expend this much energy to greet King Jesus when he returns? And I found myself getting a little bit here are the lyrics to Hail to Georgia. This is their anthem. Hail to Georgia, down in Dixie, a college honored, fair and true. The red and black is her standard, proudly it waves. Streaming today and the ages through, she's the fairest in the Southland. We'll pledge our love to her for A. To that college dear, we'll ring a cheer. All hail to dear old UGA. Well, except for the word glory and pledging our love in there, which can be problematic or not. Verse 2, hail our varsity of Georgia. Thy sons will e'er thy glory sing. I think that's crossing a line, isn't it? That we offer glory to an institution, as important as I think they are. And I know that you believe institutions are important too. Maybe you see these big institutions and you're like, wow, that is such a waste. I think they can be a good thing for our culture. I recognize there's so much bad indoctrination going on at these centers that they can be very harmful. And that's why we would agree that these things are important. They can indoctrinate for the good, or they can indoctrinate for the not good. These are important institutions. And so I'm definitely not anti-institution. I'm definitely not anti-football game. But I am all about King Jesus. And I thought, let's forget these 90,000 people. Where is that line? I enjoy watching this stuff. And so before I point a finger at 89,999 people, I got to ask myself the question, would I be this excited if King Jesus were returning? Am I this excited when I go to church on Sunday? Am I this enthusiastic? I believe church should be done decently in an order, so I don't think we should be bringing pom-pons and running all around and jumping up and down and painting our bodies with a church colors. No, don't think that should be going on, but is it as exciting for me to go sit amongst the saints that God has brought together in the context of a local church? And if not, Why not? And now the answer to the question might be, look, it's not a problem for you. You jump up and down at a football game, lighten up. But we don't do that in church. And that could be possible. But I would also ask, is it possible that we should be more excited about church than a football game? And I'm forgetting the other people at this moment. What about my heart? Jimmy, am I being a curmudgeon in here?
Nope, don't think so.
Because
completely agree.
I love watching this. It's fun and it's good and it provides a little bit of rest. And you gather around and you watch it and there's food and all of that stuff is good if it is done recognizing that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of Lights. So let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater, but maybe, just maybe, it's an opportunity for us to ask the question, to whom do I give glory? This is Wretched Radio. Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire. Sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
You know that awkward moment when your theology starts to collide with real life? You know, when you're quoting Romans in your head while you're losing it in traffic. Yeah, we've all been there. And that's why we created Integrated with Dr. John Grotz. It's one of the brand new productions of Fortis Institute that helps you take biblical truths, the ones that are stuck in your head, and actually help you to live them out. Because honestly, let's face it, theology isn't just for Sunday mornings. And so while you're listening to Integrated with Dr. John Grotz and learning to bridge that head-to-heart gap, we encourage you to also go by FortisInstitute.org and sign up to become a Fortis Insider, because it's absolutely, totally free. Every day, we're going to send you fresh content that helps you navigate this crazy, brave new world. Think of it as your daily dose of biblical sanity. And while you're there, you can download the Fortis Plus app, also free, you sense the theme here, and get instant access to hundreds of hours of content that'll help you stand firm when the culture is trying to knock you over. Just visit FortisInstitute.org.
There are many struggles experienced by our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, specifically those who run the Masters Academy International.
The biggest challenge for men attending TMAI, especially in our context in Ukraine, is the opposition from people in the church who oppose sound doctrine, and therefore men really struggle to transform their ministries in accordance with the Word of God.
The Masters Academy International in Ukraine, fighting a battle on two fronts. You've got Russia, of course, and you have opposition from the church in Ukraine for biblically trained pastors to preach the gospel. Would you please consider supporting the Masters Academy International? Adopt a seminary, 17 different countries. Might want to turn your attention to Ukraine. To learn more about this amazing legacy ministry, visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is service, the spiritual ability to meet people's physical needs. Just as Christ came not to be served, but to serve, God provides the office of deacon, those who are charged and equipped to care for the physical needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You getting a word?
That hurts my sinuses. This is Wretched Radio. Got a prediction to make. I'm not a prophet. I'm just saying, I have a funny feeling on Friday we might have some emails regarding the subject of the role of athletics, of sports, of entertainment in the lives of a believer. At no other time in human history have we had so many options for fun. And I do believe fun serves Christians. The problem, too often, in my observation, is that the fun itself becomes the object of our worship, as opposed to the fun enhancing the one that we're supposed to be worshiping. That's really what is going to be perhaps one of the greatest distinctives between earth and what we call heaven, because earth is going to be the new heavens, and earth is going to be the place where we dwell. This place, purged, cleansed, renewed, restored, and we're going to dwell on this earth when the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven and God dwells with his people. Needless to say, that's going to be a distinctive between this earth and the new earth, isn't it? That God is going to be in our midst. Whoa. Now, does that mean that you and I, all of us, are going to be talking 24/7 to the Lord? I don't think so, and here's why. Because we see that God was spending time with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. So certainly they could have prayed to God, but it seems like there was special time where they were together walking and talking. Will you and I get to walk and talk with God? Brace yourself. Yeah. Will that be 24/7? I don't think so. Because we're going to be doing activities on this earth. Many of the things that we do now, we will be doing then, including athletics, including music, including art. God is not going to make heaven less than this earth is. The new earth will be better, not necessarily because of the activities, but because we will be doing those activities rightly. We will be doing all of the, you make pottery? You know who you're going to be thinking about when you make the pottery? Do you know who you're going to be making that pottery for? Do you know why you're going to be making that pottery? And the answer is going to be for the Lord, for the Lord, for the Lord. And that's going to be the distinctive. That's how we should be doing everything here. But we don't, do we? We just do. We go. We run and gun. In the new earth, that's going to be so transformative that you drink a cool glass of water. God made this water and gave. What a kind God we have. You like to play ping pong? Or for those of us who play it well, table tennis. You're going to be thanking God for it. You're going to be enjoying him through the activity. You're not just going to be enjoying the fun. You will be enjoying the one who gave you the activity. That is going to be major on the new earth. And that's the way it's supposed to be here. And we want to be careful that we don't come up with formulas as we so often have done in Christendom. Well, this is how you become a mindful Christian. This is how you become just, you think about nothing but God. You're just, no matter what you've got to scratch your head, but I'm scratching. I'm thank you for these fingernails because I'm scratching my head because I think that those things are very easily made legalistic, and they become heavy burdens for people. Nevertheless, I think that we need to consider, how is it that I can be acting like I'm on the new earth while I'm on this old corrupted earth? How can I be doing things during the course of the day where I do thank God for them, where I do appreciate them? God's blessings, If they were assault weapons, you would be obliterated every second of the day. Okay, I'm looking at a clock right now that's telling me how much time I have to blather. I don't have to look at sand dropping through an hourglass. I push a button, stop the time, start the time, how long I'm doing something, what time is it in Japan? What a blessing this is. I've got a pair of glasses that enhance my vision. I've got a pen to write on a piece of paper that came from a tree. They're just everywhere. God is doing stuff for us. And it should be our desire to simply have our eyes open to it more and more. Not to become a desert father, a mystic, to become one who is into the current Christian mysticism and be just constantly in some sort of euphoric state. Don't do that, but don't go to the other extreme. All right, all I need to do is just check in with God in the morning. I'm good to go. I'll check in at the end of the day and off I go. Oh, you just, you won't enjoy it as much. When you eat a Krispy Kreme, in fact, I just heard somebody say that something that, oh, I hated this statistic, something that I eat, or this fact, that it's like, I think that's pretty good for me, is actually worse than eating three Krispy Kreme donuts. What? That's a sugar beets is another one. I did not realize that beets, I know that sugar is taken from beets. I think that's the number one source of sugar that we have in America. South Dakota, it's big. The sugar beets provide sugar for us. Well, they're loaded with it, and I love eating them. There were these pickled sugar beets at Costco. I fell for it. Big jar. And I don't know if it was the sugar beets or not, but somebody said, you know, that's equivalent to eating three Krispy Kreme donuts. And I thought, well, that's actually good news, because now I can eat two Krispy Kreme donuts and think I'm doing pretty well. You see how we do that? The point is, you're going to enjoy a Krispy Kreme or a sugar beet more when you realize the hand that actually provided it for you. That is how we are supposed to enjoy these things. Not as an end unto themselves, but they are a mere means unto a greater enjoyment. Furthermore, if you want to turn entertainment and activities and sports into a worship issue, which it is, they should enhance our worship of God. We shouldn't worship the activity or the institution. If we love our colors of the university that we went to, Lord, thank you. Look at what you have given to me. Look what you provide. And I get to be a part of this little association, which pales in comparison to the association that I have as being a family member of God. That's what athletics are for. They're to enhance our worship, not of the athlete, but of the God who made the athlete. There's an article in growingfathers.com, 5 misconceptions about sports betting. Do you know that it is a $35 billion industry? Online betting for football games, NFL is $20 billion. $35 billion goes toward betting. And we've said it before here on Wretched Radio. I think that, hey, how's about a nickel for this hole of golf or whatever? That's I don't think that qualifies for gambling. And I think we need to be careful when we even consider sports betting, because could you possibly participate that for fun? Okay, I can't make a law where there is no law, but it seems that it's becoming a problem mostly for men. Misconceptions about sports betting. It involves less risk. Nope. You might be an expert. You might know the statistics, who can throw the ball, how many times and how far. You're not. It's still risky. And the Lord is opposed to risky schemes, because the money that we have is from Him. It's on loan, and there are options for how we can use it. So don't be deceived about it involving less risk. It leads to greater risk. I got this. You know, I won one time. I won. Careful. Number two, it's another form of investment. No, it's not. It's a short-term risk. It's speculative. Investments, I think, are not sinful, because they're based in something, in the performance of an organization, and they're long-term strategies. There's companies and commodities, properties. They're not the same. Three, it's harmless fun. According to the American Psychiatric Association's DSM, there's now something called gambling disorder. We don't put stock in the DSM, but when they recognize it's a problem, Hotline in Virginia climbed 387% in the first year after sports betting was legalized, because people are calling up going, I got a problem here. Number four, it boosts the economy. Okay, sure. It provides taxes, and it also increased bankruptcy amongst millions of people, 25 to 30%. And then some people would say it's not addressed in the Bible. Oh, it most certainly is. One, it violates the command to love your neighbor. The principle of betting is somebody loses so I can gain. That ain't loving. It undermines the Christian work ethic. Get rich quick scheme. It's poor stewardship. It can feed discontentment. And here it is. It competes for lordship in our lives. And that is a risk. We walk in that danger all the way, every single day, where we can confuse the gift from the giver. Are you a sports bettor? Better do some heart checking to make sure that you're not worshiping what could be a gift and not the giver. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.